Hello everyone and welcome to the Green Room. This week I'd like to talk to you about something that, you know, we could make pretty dry and pretty boring to be fair, but this is what business is all about. It's about what you keep matters more than what you make. And as I unpack this, particularly with what's going on at the moment in so many SME businesses, let's try and get some really practical ways that we can really keep more in our business, make more profits. I'm seeing so many of my clients working harder than ever, but the profits just aren't turning up in their bank account. So I want to unpack that today. I want to have a look at it. I want to give you some really practical tips around what you can do at the moment that will make a difference. And I also want to talk to you about why May, and then obviously following on from May into June, is the hardest business month there is. I get December and January is a bit tricky because everyone's on leave and most people are having a break, but May has some real ambush issues that we need to be talking about. So let's get started. So I want to start today with a question. So last financial year, what did your business turn over? You probably know that number pretty well. Most people can tell me really closely what their business turned over last financial year, but they struggle a little bit more to tell me what they actually keep. So if the second answer came slower than the first, you're running for the same race as most Australian business owners. You're watching the revenue line, but you're not really understanding how that cash, almost like a sand filter, gets trapped all the way through your business model till down the bottom, there's not enough left to reward you for all your effort. So, you know, we're in May at the moment. You might be listening to this in June. Why is May such a hard month? Well, if you're feeling the squeeze right now, you're not imagining it and you're certainly not alone. May is the single most painful month on the ATO's calendar for many Australian small business owners. The annual income tax assessment from last year is due for many of us. Your quarterly BAS in the first quarter of the year is due. Your monthly PAYG tax withholding is due. So these three separate obligations, three separate amounts, all landing inside the same four-week window. For a business running on tight margins and tighter cash flow, which is what so many of us are dealing with at the moment, that's not pressure. You know, that's almost a perfect storm. That's like a wave crashing over your bow just when you need it the least. But as I said earlier, you're not alone. A 2025 CommBank survey found that 89% of Australian businesses experienced higher input costs over the previous 12 months. So things are getting more expensive to do business, and 89% of you told the CommBank that. But 80% of you actually expected that to continue through in 2026. So the outlook for many of you, your confidence around the business and around the rising costs, you're expecting that to continue on. ASIC also put out a recent report that says 50% of small business failures in Australia, so half of small business failures in Australia, are directly tied to poor cash flow management. And critically, it's rarely a shortage of sales, which is where a lot of us focus when we're short on money. It's the mismatch between money coming in and obligations going out. So when you think about that, May obviously is a critical month. You've got three significant payments that are due to the ATO, and if you haven't planned for them, they can really put some huge pressure on in this high cost environment. Now, as you well know, that's not the only thing that's going on at the moment. There's been some big shifts, and there's a couple of big shifts on the horizon in our SME business world and for our small businesses. So wage theft is now a criminal offence. So deliberate underpayment of wages, not sloppy record keeping but willful underpayment, now carries the potential for criminal prosecution. And so that's meaningful in its own right. Also, the right to disconnect now applies to small employers. So meaning your team has protected rights to switch off after hours. And it's just a quick message, it doesn't work like that. That's been mandated in law. And also from the 1st of July, which I'm sure most of you would be aware, or your accountants would be talking to you about it. 1st of July, 2026, Payday Super rewrites everything of how we're paid historically. So superannuation must be paid at the same time as wages, not quarterly on the same day. So if you've been using the quarterly super float to manage your cash flow, and a significant number of Australian businesses have been doing that, that strategy ends at the end of June, you know, comes in 1st of July. So, you know, depending when you're listening to this, four weeks to go, that now ends. So whilst each of these set changes individually are manageable, and most businesses will cope with them fine, when you pull them all together, it represents a much higher compliance load for businesses. So it's not a productivity problem, it's a structural one, how we get this right. So we'll be spending more time on paperwork than on our growth, more energy worrying about what might be getting worse than executing on what you know is right. Compliance will be a significant time drain with all of these new things. If you think about a dragon boat race, I've got a client who does dragon boat racing. Eight paddlers. If you're new to dragon boat racing, and I was until this client has educated me over a number of years. So eight paddlers, and paddlers of all different skills, sizes, fitness levels, a whole range of things. You're put in a team where you will function similar to other people in your team. When all eight pull together, they're quite big boats. So when all eight pull together, same rhythm, same power, same timing, which takes a bit of practice, of course, the boat is amazing. It's extraordinary. It cuts through the water almost like it's flying. But you take one paddler out of sync, because it's such a big boat and every paddler is relied upon, if you take one paddler out of sync, everything suffers. Not a little bit, but disproportionately. The drag from one weak stroke, it doesn't just slow that seat down, it destabilizes the rhythm of the whole lot. And your profit and loss actually works the same way. I think of it as revenue comes in, costs come out, gives us our gross profit line, the overheads then come out, which are our fixed costs, which gives us our net profit line. And each one of those after the revenue line is almost like a sand filter for a pool. It captures the dollars as they flow down through to the bottom line. So if you think of every line in your business, it's a paddler. Revenue, cost of goods, labor, rent, software, subscriptions, you know, marketing, compliance of costs, and of course tax obligations. When they're all pulling together, right-sized, timed right, visible to you, the leader steering the boat, the business moves. When one is out of rhythm, you feel it everywhere. The problem is most business owners are steering from the back of the boat without able to see clearly which paddler is causing the drag. Where are the costs out? Where is it actually going wrong? And May, when it hits with these three big ATO payments in Australia, if you're listening in New Zealand, you may, or in other countries, you may well have a similar challenge. But certainly in May, with these three big ATO payments hitting, normally we know they're coming, we understand they're coming, but we're so busy doing what we do that it's called temporal discounting. We'll worry about it when it happens. And that's where most businesses, I think, would run into challenges for May. We'll worry about when it happens, all of a sudden it happens. The cost of doing business across a whole range of issues is now bigger than ever, harder than ever. And now we've got these compliance challenges which are going to be taking up considerable time and energy in our businesses. So we've got a bit of a perfect storm happening through. So there's two options. When you see the wave, you can either ride it or you can brace for contact. And what I'm saying to you is, if we get ahead of the curve, when the wave hits, yep, no one loves it. That's not pretty. And I don't know a single person or a single business that says, oh, you know, we just don't pay enough tax. We need to be paying more tax. Just, I've never heard that, I don't think, ever spoken in a meeting. So we want to be able to ride the tax that we are paying, but instead we worry about it later, May hits, and then bang, we're just trying to hang on to try and work our way through it without having a real strategy. So I think there's three or four things that you can do really well that help you ride the wave, not brace for contact. And number one is stop treating tax money, a bit like the super money we used to, stop treating tax money like it's your money. Every invoice you get, carve off, create an offset account, call it a tax account, PAYG account, whatever you want to call it. can be set up in no time at all with your bank, and carve off a piece of your revenue. So if your marginal tax rate for as a company is, say, 25%, or your GST, of course, carve a number out that when you get an invoice, it might be 30%, might be 25%. Your accountant could help you, but most businesses will probably be around 25%. Carve that out into a tax account, and you will never have a challenge around paying your tax. Even if you start small, maybe a 5% or a 10% buffer, so it can contribute to your tax, whatever you can manage, carve out a little bit as the money comes in, whether it be the end of the week, you add up your invoices, or as invoices come in, create a system where that works. So that looks after your GST, it looks after your annual tax bill, and it looks after, you know, your PAYG bill. So those things are really good. And of course, now that we're paying super in the week, you might as well carve out enough there to make the super payment as well. So whatever those numbers are as a percentage of your income, carving it out on the run means you don't have to find it later, and I think is a really smart way to manage what is inevitable. These things will have to be paid. The next one is, I go back to my question at the start of this podcast. What did you keep? Not turnover, not what's in your pipeline, not the number you quote when someone asks how business is going. It's what actually happened at your net profit line, called EBITDA, around earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, amortization, that net profit number of what's left after you pay your overheads. Having that number then goes on to pay capital expenditure, goes on to pay your tax bill, a whole range of things. But if you don't know that number and you don't work towards that number, then you will ultimately run into trouble at some point. So, you know, they say you drive for show, putt for dough, revenue's vanity, net profit is where the game is. So understanding your net profit line, I think, is really, really important. So at the end of the day, that's the one that matters. So it's not just hope. You create visibility around what is left. You really understand your business model and where it looks, what it looks like, and how you're getting to that net profit line. The gross profit line, or revenue less the variable costs of labor to get that revenue, or variable costs of materials used in that project, is a number that your team can really impact normally. How efficient are they delivering? How much rework's being done? How much warranty work's being done? Are you buying or procuring your supplies, depending on your business, from a bulk supplier and negotiating the best price? Or, for example, if you're a builder, are your blokes running out of something during the day and popping down to Bunnings and just buying it at retail? These sort of behaviours can really be impacted positively and negatively by your team. So having the right discussions around how we get efficiencies in our team, how we really manage our variable costs, those costs that if we shut the door tomorrow would stop, we wouldn't be doing work around our labour units, our subcontractors, and our material costs predominantly. Freight's another one that we're seeing huge uplift in at the moment. Those sort of costs, getting your team on board around really managing that and coming up with great ideas in how we get some efficiencies together, I think's really powerful. So that was number three. So number one, tax money's not your money. Number two is look at your EBITDA or your net profit line and really focus on that as much as your revenue line. And so we can really pull through the sustainable, profitable commercial business that we want to have. Number three, of course, is we've just touched on, is getting our team involved in how we manage our costs. And number four is probably in 25 years, the one that I get asked a lot the most about. So number four is really sitting down and budgeting out your fixed costs below your gross profit line for your overhead, such as your rents, and your electricity bills, and your marketing, and your accounting bills, all of those things, your management team and your admin wages, all of those things that are fixed costs below the gross profit line. Why is that important? Well, for many, and this is the argument I get, for many of those costs, there's not a lot you can do about it. It'll be a lot of tinkering. Like, for example, if our electricity bill feels high, we can test the market. And that's worthwhile. Or it should be doing that annually all the time. If our rent is where it is, it's going to stay that way likely. Rent tends to go up, it doesn't tend to go down. So we need to work through that. Most of our costs will have some sort of CPI addition to them year on year. And when I do budgets with businesses historically, what I've seen is the revenue line is normally not too far out, not too bad. The gross profit line, whether that be 30% or 20% or whatever, might be 2% or 3% of revenue out, because you measure that in what's left after you've paid your costs, what's as a percentage of revenue. That might be a bit out, but normally not too far. It's the expenses that we underestimate, that get away from us. Those things we didn't see coming. IT costs, computers, unforeseen circumstances, like we grow and we have to have more IT subscriptions, for example. All of those sorts of things, they need to be part of your strategic conversation. But the big ticket item, and number four, is subscriptions. Going through your bank statements around where the subscriptions are going, as we more and more of us are using AI, we're signing on to subscriptions, we're signing on to Canva subscriptions, we're signing on to Claude subscriptions, ChatGPT, to all of these different Notebook LM, all of these different programs, plus our software for potentially our Xero or whatever software program we're using there, or in our Microsoft products or our Google, whatever it looks like. There is so many subscriptions that we use these days as a, you know, we don't buy the software anymore. We use it as a service. And we're effectively renting it. So by going through your list of subscriptions, this is where I can find some real savings quite often. Are we using them enough? Is there a different alternative? Is there a cheaper app that we might be able to use? Are we double handling those subscriptions in more than one place? This is the one number in the fixed costs and in the budget that we can get some real wins from, in my view. And when I sit down with clients over time that haven't looked at their subscriptions for a while, we normally can get significant savings in this space. So that's number four. So to walk through, what are the four things that I suggest we do that really help us to manage this cash flow whack? Well, number one is to stop treating our money, our tax money, like it's our money. Carve it off, move it aside, you'll never get caught again. Number two is that, you know, it's not about the revenue, it's about what we keep. So what is that EBIT number after we've got everything right where we want to go? Number three is get your team involved in trying to work through where the costs are going and how we might be able to do it differently. And the more they can be involved, the more they can impact in the day-to-day, and the more gross profit we can pull through the business. And the last one is to create a budget annually, which is something that many small business owners struggle to get done. This is the time of the year to do it though, May, June, ready to go. Look at your subscriptions, get them, make sure that you right size your subscriptions where they need to get to, and really use your budget as your game plan, if you like. This is the strategy we will execute next year. These are the resources we have to deploy, and this is the profitability we expect, and then we can measure that and monitor that on the run. So good luck, everyone. Hopefully you all got through May okay, coming out the other side, and you can go away and implement these four really simple ideas to really start to drive the profitability of your business.